We are back. 58, almost 59 minutes after 10 o'clock. My pleasure to welcome back to the show, New Iberia Mayor Freddie DeCourt. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. My pleasure to be here.
Appreciate you coming by. I know we had a little scheduling conflict yesterday when you normally join us, but don't know how much you can tell about that. You were talking to me off mic about maybe some opportunities.
Had some visitors from the state with the Atchafalaya Trace who funded some things for us in the past, and they were interested in coming and looking around. They're going to hold a function in mid-April that they bring people from other states here, which is really neat. And met with them yesterday, couldn't be here, and had lunch with them to talk about some possible new grant opportunities. So if you don't know anything else about me, I'm all about grants, and I'll take them for whatever we can get them for, because whatever you get a grant for brings economic development, brings jobs, gets an opportunity for local contractors. Doesn't always work out, but it has so far, you know, in a vast majority of the cases. So anyway, I'm always interested. So that's what I was doing yesterday, why I couldn't be here.
No, all good. We understand sometimes business gets in the way.
Yeah, you know, there you go.
But appreciate you coming by today. And before we get into Tuesday night's council meeting, kind of rehash that, any other news to bring about?
I just left the mobile market in the West End at the park. And I don't want to buy too much. I needed to get out. The line was long. They got there about 10 minutes late, so I knew I had to get here. But prices are really cheap. Produce is really fresh. They come every 2 weeks. Really trying to support that. I'd love them to come even more often, but really, really
who puts
cheap.
This on?
I'm going to have to. I took a picture. Let me see if there's there on it.
and I know I heard either, I think it was Deidre Ledbetter talking about it the other night.
I know I just call it the mobile market, but that's a shame. And, you know, I met with those people about a month ago. I am sorry that I don't remember the name. But really cool operation. They come in. They've got a lot of fresh produce, you know, cash out right there. And the lines weren't that long, so people need to take advantage of that. So that's just a fun thing that happens, like I said, every 2 weeks.
On Friday, every two
weeks? Yes.
Very cool. So again, get some fresh stuff there. Anything else?
No, busy. We Public Works poured the. I just checked on it before I walked in here. They poured the base for the James Lee Burke sculpture.
Oh, cool!
So the sculpture's at Public Works, all in a bunch of bubble wrap. They poured the base yesterday. It needs a little dressing up, but it's going to be good. And then now they'll pour the bottom sidewalk. They'll do that next week, and then we'll let that cure for a few days. They don't want to unveil the sculpture, I think, till the Literary Festival, which is not too many weeks away.
About a month, yeah.
About a month. So we'll have a couple of weeks between pouring concrete, dressing it up, letting it cure, and then probably the week before, Public Works and I will set the sculpture and then cover it up, you know, to have an unveiling. But that's, you know, getting that done is a huge step, and I'm glad it's here, and I think that, you know, long-term, for what his books have done for our area over the many years that he's written about New Iberia, I think this is, you know, a really good thing and actually long overdue.
There you go. Council met Tuesday night and, among other things, had a couple of ordinances that were up for adoption, one authorizing you to negotiate and execute a maintenance and operations services agreement between the city, Sewage District Number 1, and Statewide Electrical Services.
Yes,
what's going on there?
That's the Cotton Street plant that we own on half with the parish. Statewide, Barry Segura runs that plant and runs the day-to-day operations of it, and we have a contract. We pay half, the parish pays half of all the expenses, including this contract. And so we approve it, then it goes to the parish to approve, and then we can all sign it. But that's for him to continue doing what he's done, you know, the last few years of running that plant.
Gotcha. Then another ordinance, for a better term, a franchise agreement with CenterPoint Energy.
Yes.
Is one expiring, I'm guessing?
Yes, that one has expired. And the only change we made, they had given us a 4.5% franchise fee, and we lowered it to a 4, not a 4.5. It had been a 4 prior to that. So we lowered it back to a 4. When I noticed that when I was reviewing the contract, why would I want to charge our citizens more money?
I was going to say, it would be great if they
chipped in.
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, you know.
Dude, all day long. I'd make it 5.5. But, you know, that was coming out of our citizens. So We reduced that to four, really didn't make any other change. And so that gives them their franchise agreement. So that's what that was about.
All right. Several resolutions were up for adoption. One in regard to the asphalt ceiling project, authorizing you to take care of any contracts with Glen Leger Construction.
Yeah, that's a mid-$30,000 contract. We the drought was hard on a lot of things. Well, one thing that it was definitely hard on was our new roads. So many of our new asphalt streets, we had cracks. If we seal them now, the good news is, as it's raining and things are, you know, soil's becoming more hydrated, they're actually, some of them, you know, a good percentage of them actually closing up. And they're not closing up all the way. But that at least shows us, you know, it's new. I guess it has a little flexibility. But what we're doing is running around and sealing those to make sure that we don't have a, you know, a problem down the road. So it's a maintenance issue. Even though the roads are not old, it happened on some of the new asphalt streets that we had just put in.
Wow. Okay, another resolution authorizing you to sign a contract between the city and Planet Recess for Santiago Park playground equipment.
That's the money that I was able to give to each council person to spend in their district. Second time I did this was not as much as the first time, but anytime I see an opportunity that we can take some money from some gain somewhere or left from a project or a grant that I can evenly distribute between all the council members, you know, they need to leave their mark as well. I served as the mayor pro tem, and it's sometimes difficult at the end of the day. I mean, when you vote yes, you're part of something, and you're part of the team. And even if you vote no, you're part of the debate. You know, we are a team. But I was always a little frustrated as the pro tem. There weren't a lot of things that you could normally. You had to really rock the boat if you're going to leave your mark on something. So we need to make it easier. And so this is the second time I do that. I hope to do that again over the next term, that the council gets, you know, each the same pot of money and they can do things with it. So each one has picked. Three, Councilwoman Marcotte added playground equipment to the Santiago Park. Very small park. We even had to get it surveyed to make sure that she wasn't over the line. Yeah. Because it looks larger than it is, but the city doesn't own. It's a small piece of property with vacant land.
Oh, okay.
Surrounding it. That's not ours. So she elected to do some playground equipment. So that's what that was about. The next two resolutions on the agenda are for exercise equipment going in the West End and the Bank Park. Those council people, Councilman Marlon Lewis and Councilwoman Deidre Ledbetter, elected to do exercise equipment. And so that's what those are.
What kind of equipment are we talking about? Because these are outside.
Yeah, it's made to be outside, you know. It's all goes by your body weight. So it's either it's all static or semi-static that uses your body weight. So we're not talking about, you know, cables and weights. Or freeway.
Right, right.
But it's all just as you're walking on the trail, you'll stop. It has a little card that tells you how to do the exercise and, you know, what it does. But we thought that that was a neat addition. So that's going to happen in those two parks.
Neat. Timeline on those things being ready for people?
Well, they got to be done, and that's the weird thing. They have to be done for July 1. So we're moving. Because that was some money that we got from the state, but that was a deadline. Now, maybe they'll extend it, but I have to act like they won't. So that has to be done. Mr. Broussard, and I'm not going to, you know, unfortunately, I'll probably not remember everybody's. The one that's the most in peril is, and the engineers are working on it hot and heavy, so I'll pour that section first. But we're going to have some sidewalks finally on Highway 14. Don't get too excited. Sidewalks are expensive. This, at the best case, would run between Sucrose Drive and Queen City.
Okay.
On one side of the road. So we're looking at doing that. That will be one that's coming. I'm waiting on the bids.
That'd be on the, well, there are hotels on both sides, but
right.
Which side are we talking about?
Probably the side that Lowe's is on.
Okay.
To start. And so we'll actually access some of the TIF dollars to subsidize Mr. Broussard's money. But that's the only one I'm a little worried about that I got to get that done. Again, has to be done by July 1.
All right.
But we'll get it done.
Good. The resolution regarding clearance demolition program, is that the
Half a million. Yes, yeah. That's the $500,000. We should be able to access those funds by the summer. That was the first step. Next we'll have a conference where we, with the state, probably a Zoom, where we go over all the requirements and those kind of things. So it's just beginning, but we got the money. It's coming. By the summer, we should be able to access the money and start demoing. So that's really good. That's $500,000. People are still turning buildings in to be in that program. Well, that one's maxed out. Mm. But we're taking their names and putting it down because there's going to be another one. We're hearing that this would be a reoccurring thing, which we're all about it. So, but that was the first step.
Yeah, I know you probably budget X amount of dollars per property on average, but any chance there is something left over when you finish the ones that you plan to do?
I would hope, but I bet not, because we have more houses, and that's what we would do. We'd probably just slip. If we had a little money left, we'd slip the next one in line.
Right,
in.
Right. That's what I was going.
Yeah, and if there is money left, that's what we plan on doing. And those were kind of first come, first serve. And remember, we didn't want to have this contentious thing that other communities tried to do, that they worked off their demo list of forcing people, which is a lot more steps and a lot – still has to be done, but a lot more steps and a lot more it's just contentious. So this was, we asked people, hey, you got something you want to tear down? So it worked really well, and that shows me in the future what a good way to do it. We normally budget about $100,000 a year that we do demos with. So we have to go after the things that are really causing trouble, that are a nuisance. But more than that, we only can really tear something down when it becomes a safety risk. You know, public safety is what drives this. Some of the ones that we are getting to do or would get to do by this kind of volunteer, I need to tear it down, they have to meet our criteria. They can't, you know. You're not going to be able to call and say, I want a brand new building torn down. You know, I don't know why you would, but they have to meet our criteria that they fall under public safety. But there are varying degrees of that. There are sometimes we have to act really quick because something is really that bad. There are other instances that they fit the bill to be a hazard, but they're waiting in line, or, you know, someone sues us, or they go to a judge and try to get an injunction. I mean, we have some of them that go on for years because of one thing or another. But this $500,000 one is really going to be quick because everybody came forward and said, please tear it down. You know, I give it to you to tear it down, kind of thing. So I'm starting to realize that's what a tool that's going to be. So I'm very hopeful that it's at least $500,000 again next year.
Real good. So, and obviously when you know about that, we'll be talking more about
those
opportunities. Introduced a couple of ordinances to be considered. Well, most of them to be considered at your next meeting. One of them not. I was kind of curious about the NIPD vehicles that you put out, plan to make for surplus property, authorizing the sale of them. Curious why that one cannot be dealt with in 2 weeks when the others are.
Because I have to wait a month.
Oh, okay. There you go.
There's a reason. But cool that you noticed that. and you see, the three patrol cars, we can sell between police agencies. Like, the chief could call a chief tomorrow and sell those, the three.
Okay.
The other cars, which are mostly Fusions and one Equinox, those are like detectives and narcotics and, you know, administrative little cars. So took the, not administrative, it was all police officers, but we took the lights out of them. So now they just little civilian cars. So we are looking at our options to do away with those because we want to get the most money we can. You know, if the city could put a sign on a car in front of the PD building for sale, we could probably get $15,000 a car, you know. I don't think we're going to get that in the auction world, but they have to be auctioned because it's public funds. So this is the first step to give us permission to declare them surplus. Once the time period's done that they can be declared surplus, that they are now surplus, we are actually this year. What we did in the past was go to LMATS, which is through Louisiana Municipal Association, and they auctioned them off for us. We're not saying we won't do that, but we are talking to other people that are, you know, might have an angle to bring them to some other auction that might, you know, yield us a little more money.
Okay.
All the money goes back to the PD, so.
Gotcha. A couple other ordinances. One between the city and Fusus Unified Intelligence Platform for their products and services. What is that?
That is the brain of our new camera system.
Okay. Which, I was going to ask you about that. You heard about a move in the legislature to do something about traffic cameras?
I did, but these aren't the traffic cameras. We can talk about that after or before, whatever you want to do, but not the same thing. This is the brain, if you will, the system that we will utilize to enhance and to keep us, you know, where we have a handle on the 125 crime cameras, and what we need a handle on is all the information, basically. But for those 125 crime cameras and the 25 LPR cameras, that's what this system will do. Now, it's going to do a lot more than that, and we are cutting edge with this, and I think it's really cool, so I'm going to talk about it. We've already had a meeting with the school system, and we want to bring them on board, because if they subscribe and download the app, there is some charges. You know, we're working through all of that. A teacher would be able to hit the app button. God forbid there was, you know, some active shooter at a school. The five cameras closest to the teacher with the app on her phone or his phone, those cameras would come on immediately and feed to our center. So now law enforcement knows where it's heading to. The other part of it that is really cool, you can be an off-duty police officer who will get that alert. You could be driving by a school, and your phone would go off, and you'd know where it is, what's wrong, what you're facing, and, you know, that officer could go in immediately. So we're working with the Sheriff's Department. We would like to add them on. We had the mayor of Delcom, Lorville, and Jenrette in the room. They would pay for their own, not city funds, but to show them what we might be able to do. Next week, I'm lining up a meeting with all the banks. Okay, you get all the and I don't want the interior cameras. I don't want to look in your house. I don't want to look at, you know, we want what's a public view anyway. So we're going to put a meeting together. There has been a rash of ATM burglaries.
I've been hearing about that.
So we are now going to talk to all the banks and see if they would give us access to their cameras on the exterior when we need them. It geofences when something happens, and then those cameras come on. There's also a portion of this giant system that allows citizens, again, they're outside cameras. This is all voluntary. This is not, no one's taken over because we couldn't. Won't work. But citizens can register their cameras at their houses if they want to allow us access when something happens. You know, Atlanta gained, he said the number at the meeting, and it was ridiculous. It was, you know, they had 4,000 cameras. Now they have 18,000 cameras because of the shared cameras.
Mm-hmm.
But this system manages all of that. This system is, you know, really high tech. And we'll take any kind of camera. So even there's a certain pixel it needs to be at or whatever, but basically, like he said, you know, there are a lot of cheap cameras out there that once they're on this system, it helps to enhance them to, you know, be able to be utilized to get that information we need. And, you know, we're shooting for, not every city has a real-time crime center. We're starting with, you know, one analyst. We are going to go to the council and budget to pick up two more analysts, and then actually get a system that where we end up, the long-term goal is to end up that it is real-time, and you see something, you can prevent something when you see something beginning to group up to happen. So very excited about that. We had a long way to go. It's a lot of parts and pieces, but Fuchsius came to do a little presentation. They were on the agenda anyway to get that expense approved because it's a long-term contract. Remember, by the William Kyle law of our charter, anything over 23 months has to go to the council. And it's a great thing. I mean, it keeps everything above board and lets everybody know what's going on, because, I mean, this is like a 7-year contract. So, of course, it had to come. But really just has a lot of opportunity to do some good for us and to be a game changer, because we all feel we need a game changer.
Gotcha.
Yep.
Gotcha. Well, let's go to traffic cameras.
Okay. I knew I wouldn't get off the, you know, it's okay.
Yeah. And I know the school board passed, at least for the time being, on the Center Street issue because of the pending legislation.
Correct.
That could, what I understand, could eliminate those.
Yes. Yes. It's, and I don't. It's
and what was funny too, about the same time he's introducing that, they're getting ready right now on I-10. Beginning Monday.
To put the cameras.
Right,
I know that.
Right.
I know that.
As an act of the legislature.
Yes,
so
I know.
Anyway.
As the state itself.
Yes.
But that's actually the number of the bill is 21. Okay, so we'll see what 21 does. It could, if it passed, I think that those would go away all over the place, including what the state was doing itself.
Yeah.
So that's going to be interesting. We're watching that. We are not taking any steps to do anything either until we see what that does. But I did see that and thought the same thing. I said, well, wait a minute. The state's going to stop itself. So that will be interesting.
Yeah.
And I will abide by whatever it does,
well,
of course.
Sure. Another ordinance, and again, introduction this past Tuesday on the 19th agenda would authorize you to negotiate and execute a service agreement between the city and iWork Systems.
Yeah,
what would that be?
That's a computer program. I've had trouble since we were hacked by the Russians, which is so weird. That happened years ago, but it still wigs me out.
Mm-hmm.
So we had a program that an individual who no longer works at the city had written while they were there. And it worked well. The guy did a good job. But it was kind of a homemade thing. And it communicated between public works, between my office where many of our complaints of nuisance items and grass cutting and potholes and those kind of things go. It communicated with public works. It communicated with the permit office, which is where my compliance office is as well. It communicated with the sewer department because we have sewer backups or we have issues. So all of that was in this really kind of tight little package program that really helped us communicate about the issues and keep track of them. It's working, but it ain't working like it did. So, and there's no fixing it. We have spent money trying to fix it. So we've given up on that. iWorks has a lot of features, but that's really what we were the most interested in so that I could get a real professional program with backup, with, support that can be customized. So that I can do more efficiently what we're doing anyway. But, again, I think that this will be a much more efficient platform to work off of. So that's what that's about.
All right. And then another ordinance would amend the budget to reflect collection and apportionment of registration and sponsorship for the Mid-Sized Cities Mayor Conference. What's that all about?
Mid-Sized Cities Conference is something that I had heard about. I had never attended. We are.
Seems to me the previous mayor, Hilda Curry, had attended some of those things.
I think she did. Think she did. Matter of fact, I know she did. So attended one, saw how invaluable it was to speak with your peers, to have a couple of days that you really hash out. You think as you're wrapped up in all this stuff that you're the only one fighting this, whatever it is. But really have a lot in common with the cities that are our same size because, we all in Louisiana, many of us in South Louisiana, we're all the same people. We have the same issues. And so it's really fun to see how other people solve their issues. It's fun to steal ideas. It's fun to look at grant funding and say, oh, I'll call those guys when I get back. But it works. And all the mayors are working well together to share this information so you don't really go feel like you're stealing something. It's about 30 cities that are mid-sized cities. It is kind of like an LMA, but it's not. It has no organization. It has no nothing except by population. We fit the bill. So we take sponsorship money. We take, I'm not saying we don't use any, regular tax dollars, but the goal is to do as little as you can with tax dollars and try to do as much as you can with sponsorships. And we've been very lucky to raise money with sponsorships. Matter of fact, if we have any money left over, it'll get passed back to the organization and go to the next city. So that's what that was about. Gretna, I went to the ones I've been to so far have been Slidell, Broussard, and Gretna. So I've gone to those three. I was supposed to go to another one, and I think it ended up that's when I had some surgery, so I couldn't go. But happens twice a year, so I've been going the last couple of years and do see that it's invaluable. What it does for us as a group of sharing information and sharing consultants, and we have speakers, we have some roundtable discussions, so it'll be held at the Slimen for a couple of days, and we have, I think, about 18 mayors registered already. That happens in May, so I think we'll end up, and normally it's about 20, 25 mayors. And they can bring like one staff member or whatever. But so it ends up being about 50 people. And so that's what that's about.
Gotcha. And you said set date?
Yeah, and I'm going to have to dig in my phone to find
no,
it.
Don't worry about it.
It's in May.
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 We'll talk to you before.
Oh, yeah,
then.
No, definitely.
Kevin Zarang also presented the budget actual report from November 1st, start of the fiscal year, through the end of December.
Yeah, and it was all good. I think we need to be at 17%. I think the only department that was up a little bit, and there's reasons why, was the PD, but it's because we're spending all this money on our crime camera system. We had bought a couple of cars at the beginning of the budget in November. We're buying things for the crime camera system, as I said. We hired three officers, which will be, they're an FTO, and they'll be going ahead into the academy. So it's just some of our expenses that are normally on the back end this year, but on the front end. So everything's pretty much right in line. But it was time for him to do that. He had missed the last opportunity to do that. Something happened, and he couldn't be at the meeting. So I think we'll have a couple of those. One more, I think, to catch up to current. But it's just a good way to kind of review the budget with everybody and see if we're on track or not.
Gotcha. That's the agenda, other than council remarks. Any takeaways from those?
Not that I remember. Not really. No.
Festival of Live Oaks coming up.
Yeah.
Not hearing a lot about that.
Yeah, we're pushing it out there. We've been putting it on social media. We got a really cool poster this year, and we're trying to kind of spiff up our social presence and our just the quality of our social post. I think there's 6 barbecue teams. Last year there was less than that, so 6 isn't bad. That used to be a big thing, but I mean it. I think there's like 6 teams this year, and it's coming. I mean, you know, they got a couple of bands lined up, and they got some vendors lined up. So it's always a quaint, really, you know, good little day. It's a good little festival, but yeah, it's coming, and we're trying to prep for our summer camp. That's something that I think early registration's winding up. But we really have revamped the summer camp, and I think we don't have a lot of kids signed up so far, so we're pushing it. And, again, trying to push it on social media. It's going to be 10 weeks, which it's longer than it's been before, so that people could count on us for the summer while they're working. And I think we're going to offer some new things and do it in a way that is more comparable to the other summer camps. So I'm excited to push that as well. But
is this the program with the 2-week intervals?
Yes. Like, yes. Yeah. And this time it would be 10, you know, a total of 10, right. five sessions. So we're kind of revamping that, kind of a reset. So we're pushing that, but, you know, get it out there like we can.
There you go. So some guys putting up one-way signs in and around Burke Street there. And I was talking to the guy briefly because I told him, I said, I wish I had a quarter for every time I saw a car going the wrong way down there.
Yeah.
And he was like, just as I'm installing this, I'm seeing cars going the wrong way.
I know.
So hopefully maybe some striping, too, to remind folks.
We are hoping. We are hoping. We're trying. And that's all part of that program that the state came in and DOTD and looked at all of the city's most, I don't know, heinous traffic areas, you know, areas that we had wrecks, and they kind of look at the stats and they keep all of that because that's what they do. And so just kind of trying to clean up some of our areas that weren't set up or that is not clear, or for some reason, even if it is clear, people aren't listening. Anyway, that's what that's about.
Gotcha. Anything else going on?
You know, just good stuff. Just busy working and working with engineers and architects on projects. A lot of stuff coming, a lot of stuff that's in the works, bidding. Public Works did a really good job. We rented a bulldozer because ours is broken, trying to see if it's worth fixing. But we went out and cleared all the property where the new road to the Pepperplex is coming. So that's all cleared. I talked to the engineer yesterday, and he's got all the surveying done, and it should have a layout for me maybe next week. The sidewalk that is coming on 14, he had a layout of that. I had a meeting yesterday at the Steamboat Pavilion looking at the footings that are poured and the layout and rough end of the bathrooms. You know, went out to Bank Park to look at some stuff there that's up and coming, waiting on capital outlay. We finally got some approval that we'll be getting on Little Brooklyn's Park. We're waiting on something from the state to get on the Ann Street Park, because those are two little small parks that we're actually building. It's been a long time since the city built a park. Was out of the West End early this week. I just signed about $60,000 worth of work at Old Park Elementary, trying to finish the loose ends up to get that opened. for a senior citizens center in part of it, and a future computer lab. Went to the grand opening, ribbon cutting for Boys and Girls Club last week. They actually gave me an award, which I wasn't expecting. I'm very grateful for that. But went, and that little facility really came out nice. Talked to some Boys and Girls Club staff this morning when I went to the mobile market. And we're going to be getting together to kind of look at making sure that our missions align and looking at how we can further work together. We just want to make sure that our community takes advantage. You know, the consensus everywhere is everybody's tired of people who just quit and just say there's nothing for us to do or there's nothing for our kids to do, because it's simply not true. So we need to do a better job of promoting the things we have and at least letting people know what's up and coming. And so that's going to happen. Been out at the Pepperplex looking at that project. There's a few little punch list items. We are now meeting and planning the next phase, waiting a little bit on the state for some paperwork, which has been the case in the last 2 years. They are just overloaded. Two gentlemen who are very nice gentlemen, good architects, they review all of the plans and all of the contracts for the whole state for capital outlay, and I am really hoping they end up with about five people, because the two are just really overloaded. But ready to start some projects again out there and go to the next phase there. So just busy with, you know, the mechanics and the day-to-day of trying to make something happen.
Gotcha.
But it's fun.
All right. Anything else before we let you go?
I think that's about it.